And we are back, Channel 9 Live, at the Bellagio Hotel's Dev Connections for the Visual Studio 2010 launch. My special guest, Bob, why don't you introduce yourself for people, the 10 people who don't know who you are.
Sure, I'm Bob Mugley. I run the Server and Tools Group at Microsoft. I've been around, I'm sort of an old-timer, I've been around for 22 years or so, and have been working on servers and developer stuff for a good fraction of that period of time. You know, it was interesting, I was looking at... There was a pre-run that ran before the talk I just did, and it was a bunch of people talking about our old products that we did years and years ago.
Right.
And you know, they're giving some of them a pretty hard time, and maybe they you know the 97 version where it was sort of duct tape around the box.
Right, the 10 boxes.
That was my product.
Oh, was it really? That's a little awkward.
The first version of Visual Studio.
None of your children are ever ugly.
I love those children. You know, you got to put yourself in the moment. I mean, it was a different time back then. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
And the shell, the idea of having one environment in Visual Studio, oh my God, you can't imagine how controversial that was in 1995 and 1996.
Well, I think one of my favorite comments from that was Jeff Hadfield saying developers are very picky and they'll always hate the new version until the next one's out. And then the old one is their favorite one and they never want
to change. I love that comment. I heard that and I thought that was the best comment as well. You know, and the great news is there always will be a new version.
Right.
Now, so today we're celebrating the new version. And you know what that means for us is we get to start working on the next version.
Yeah, so, you know, we've seen so many different changes. And obviously, so you run the Server and Tools business, which includes so many things from cloud services, SQL Server, and a bunch of these. How do you get all these people to sort of align? Because certainly a lot of, you know, we have one set of developer tools that is a great experience for database developers, for cloud developers, for Windows Phone developers. How does that kind of work, and how difficult is your job making everybody kind of work together, if you will?
Well, it's a huge part of what I do, frankly, is helping people to understand opportunities for them to work together and make sure that they have the bigger picture in mind and everybody's always focusing on the customer and what the customer problem is trying to solve. Sometimes you say, hey, have you talked to so-and-so over there? And the number of times where it's like, oh, really? What's the name of that person that I need to talk to? So a very big part of what I do and certainly my team, my staff does is think about, first and foremost, the customer. What's the problem that's trying to be solved? And then from that, to really focus in on making sure that all the teams are working to solve that problem. Because these days, it's rare where the team, you know, one team can solve the entire problem. I mean, a great example is the SharePoint work that was done as a part of Visual Studio 2010 and SharePoint 2010. That was done hand in hand between the SharePoint team, which is part of a different division than mine, and the Visual Studio team.
Okay, and just a reminder to everyone, if you have questions, at CH9Live, so jump on Twitter, send your question to at CH9Live, and we will get it answered all day today. Sure. So we do have one question here from Rock City Ghost. We're already using VS2010 here at Bill Highway, which is great to hear
that
we have early adopters. What can we expect upgrading from the RC? So,
the truth is the RC was very, very complete. And the final release that we have in Visual Studio is really the production one. It has the last set of issues resolved. Most of the performance work that was done near the end, we did a lot of performance work between Beta 2 and the RC. It was mostly done for the RC. So I think the biggest thing that you can expect is you now have a production-ready product, and it's time to take the work that you've already been doing. It's great to see that you guys at Bill Highway have been working on it, and now it's time to turn it into the products that are going to ship for you guys.
Sweet. Now, what are some of the things that you're personally excited about? So, you know, Visual Studio 2010 has a massive, you know, there's so many things, and I'm going to put you on the spot and ask, you know,
hey,
what's your...
That's what we're here for, right?
Yeah, exactly. What's kind of your favorite features, or what are the things that you go, you know, wow, we're really making a difference with this release?
Well, the one that absolutely stands out to me is IntelliTrace and the ability to go back and have that DVR kind of experience. That's just amazing to me. I mean, IntelliTrace basically means that what you can do is when you're running your test of your application, Visual Studio can take a recording of what was happening and then provide the developer, if a problem occurs, say there's an unhandled exception or a failure in the application of any sort, the developer can then take and look at the actual application, what was actually happening, and not just understand the overall status of it, the stack traces and things like that, but actually go in and debug the application as if it were live in front of them. They can step backwards through code, something that's pretty difficult to do, and they can actually see what was causing the problem. And you know, to me, that's such a gigantic step forward. I did most of my coding at the time when printf was the state of the art in debugging.
Right.
And so a lot has happened since then. But you know, the idea of taking modern debuggers that are in Visual Studio and extending it out to this sort of a live experience is just, I think, phenomenal.
Okay. And one of the big emerging trends that we're seeing, and we got a question here from the audience, is obviously cloud development. You know, people that are either living in hybrid, some cloud, some hosted on their machine, some in between there. What advice would you give devs on handling emerging trends like clouds?
Well, I think the number one piece of advice is get started. It's time for people to begin to learn and understand what is possible in a cloud environment. I am overwhelmed by and really invigorated. I mean, every day I get up and think about what can be done by customers with environments like Azure, and whether it's us hosting Azure or whether it's enterprises building private clouds. I mean, just the idea that this next generation application development environment, this next generation platform is available to people, and the kinds of things that can be done is pretty amazing. The thing about the cloud is that it's still emerging. It's still really nascent.
Sure.
You know, it's a baby cloud, so to speak, right now. And you know, when I look back at where we were, say, with Windows Azure 12 months ago, the environment has matured dramatically since then. And there's a ton of work that's going on. It's a service, so we're able to release that on a regular basis. I mean, we run these sprints ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we're using Agile development internally on it, so we're running these sprints against it, and we are releasing it on a very frequent basis. And you know, we see a host of new things coming in. I mean, you look at where SQL Azure was, say, a year ago, it was barely SQL Server as we know it today. Now we've got a pretty solid SQL environment, and you know, you look at all the set of features inside SQL Server. Well, that's our menu of things we're adding to SQL Azure.
Right.
You know, in the case of Windows Azure, there's a very broad set of things that Windows Azure supports. You know, such as the storage system that's really unique, the fabric controller that's there, the queuing system that's built in, the app fabric capabilities that are there. But we're running to add all the features that Windows Server has and
sure.
making it really easy for people to build you know, any kind of Windows application on top of Windows Azure. So get started is the short answer.
And you know, you mentioned teams internally. So we are dog food eaters, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give some examples, like you mentioned, other teams, including Visual Studio, how they're using Visual Studio 2010 and Team Foundation Server for some of the collaborative features? You mentioned agile development.
Okay, sure. You know, the one of the biggest things we did in the development process of Visual Studio 2010 is we used TFS internally within the project. And I will tell you that there were some tough days there in the early going, especially because no one had ever tried to scale TFS to multiple thousands of developers like we did with
mm-hmm.
the Visual Studio team. So, you know, this was truly eating our own dog food in the truest of all senses. But that's what we do. I mean, that's why we do that, is so that we can learn and we can get the products right. And you know, from that learning, this incredible product has emerged in Visual Studio 2010 with TFS.
Right.
And you know, we're using it. We're using it inside Visual Studio. It's, you know, as the team right now is in what we call our M0 stage right now, where you know, we just shipped. So today they're celebrating. I hope everybody back in Redmond is celebrating today. There's a lot to celebrate about. But
sure.
tomorrow, come on in and we'll work on how we're, you know, getting the project ready to build the next version of Visual Studio. And that'll all be based on TFS. And, you know, across the company, a wide number of teams are beginning to develop on top of that environment. So,
we got one more question here. Richard Hine, what was the deal for VS that was supposed to be expired yesterday but has been extended for the month that Bob mentioned?
Yeah, that was that ultimate upgrade offer that you guys just talked about a
sure.
few minutes ago. Basically, what that means is that if you buy a subscription for Visual Studio, the pro with the subscription, You get an upgrade to premium. And if you buy premium, you can get an automatic upgrade to ultimate. And what that means is that you pay one price, and we give you the higher end edition. It's, you know, like throwing in it's throwing in all the options for free, so to speak.
Sure.
And so they're all included, and then that's true throughout the period of your entire subscription. So if say you're on a 3-year subscription, you get the all of the features, say of premium or ultimate, and you get to experience all of that for a much lower price. And that's true to the end of the month now.
Okay. And just a reminder, we are taking your questions at CH9Live. Send us your questions, and we will get them answered. We have another question, which is Chris Sergent asks, what version was the IntelliTrace in? That was created for me as I'm a fast clicker, so I need it.
Yeah, I think it's created for everybody, Chris. The version of IntelliTrace is part of .NET 4, and it's enabled with Visual Studio Ultimate.
So Visual Studio Ultimate.
Visual
okay.
Studio Ultimate is what enables it.
Okay. You know, Bob, one of the things that
buy premium today, and you'll get that feature.
That's true. That's true. Based on the ultimate offer. You know, one of the things that is, I'd like to get your perspective, because you have an interesting perspective on, you know, you talked about the future of Visual Studio. What are some of the key trends that you see in the future? And, you know, products like R2 and Windows Server 2008, cloud, where do you kind of see what are the next trends for the industry that you're seeing?
Well, the one of the biggest ones is, what does it mean to run in this scale-out environment that the cloud provides? You know, for all practical purposes, developers have always operated thinking about the specific servers that they're actually building code for. And if you go back in time, it was all one server, right? The mainframe, you know, go back all the way to the mainframe or mini computer, you were writing an application that ran on one single server. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we saw with the internet first and then with the emergence of SOA early this last decade, early this century, we saw the emergence of applications that needed to run across multiple machines. And the complexity of that was very high, and it was all very much something that was put in the heads of developers and then the people that run and operate the production systems. Now, virtualization separated the physical machine from the virtual instance of the running code and the running application, and that was a big step. It helped to simplify the operations. But it didn't have a massive impact in the way code was developed. It had some impact, but not a massive way. It had a bigger impact in the way operations was run. Well, as we sort of look forward into the future and with the cloud, the key characteristic of the cloud is a pool of machines that are available to run a broad set of applications. And so the big difference between the cloud environment and today's either physical or virtualized environment is the system will literally determine where the application runs and then how those connections are made. And that'll all get defined in a model that defines the characteristics in all the modules of the applications, the metadata associated with the applications at every tier, the web tier, the middle tier, and the data tier. All of those need to be encapsulated, and the relationships amongst all the components. So one of the biggest changes we're working on, and you can see this today with some of the early work that's being done around App Fabric, and of course Windows Azure, is how we can build a scale-out fabric that automatically enables a broad set of machines to run parts of the applications. Mm-hmm. And that gets all defined based on the model of what the application is built on. And I think that's a huge step forward, because what it means is this vast amount of computing resources that's available to people can be automatically utilized without a lot of overhead by the developer or the people running the operations.
You know, one of the things that you mentioned, App Fabric. So can you talk about that, kind of what it is, and I've heard that you can now run this in, you can take our App Fabric code and actually run it in your own organization if you say
right.
need, or the term private cloud sometimes you hear. Can you kind of demystify
right.
that for people?
The simple way to think of App Fabric is it a set of middle tier services that we're providing that enable you to build middle tier applications. And the kinds of services that are available in the case of Windows Azure, the Windows Azure environment, we have a message bus available that allows you to connect applications through firewalls. That's a pretty interesting thing. We've done some work around identity and enabling federated identity in that
Sure.
space. That's also in Windows Azure. Now, the first set of things that are coming for Windows Server are really a scale-out environment for IIS to make it easy to build IIS applications, whether they're web applications or middle-tier applications that scale across multiple servers. And likewise, we have a cache, a caching environment, a database cache that is. I mean, I don't know the final product names on this. The code name for the scale out environment for IIS is Dublin, and the code name for the scale out environment, the cache, is Velocity, and that's
sure.
A very important middle tier cache. It's similar to Memcache, but it provides a set of transactionally consistent services. So it provides a lot more capabilities than what exists today in the generic open source variants. And it's part of Windows Server. It's just part of Windows Server, the Enterprise Edition, and the part of there's services that'll be available in the standard editions of Windows Server. So it's just part of the Windows Server platform. And you know, these are things that can really be used to simplify the process of building complex multi-tier applications that are scale-out applications. And that cache is an unbelievable accelerator for database applications.
Sure,
the amount
sure.
of acceleration that can be gotten from that is orders of magnitude in terms of performance improvement.
You know, one of the things you mentioned in the keynote was one of our partners. So Visual Studio has a great extensibility, and that was ReSharper, I believe, that mm-hmm. was done a demo. Maybe talk about some of the partner opportunities, both for the cloud, where partners can build or either resell or add value-add services for management and so forth, and for Visual Studio as well, sort of the extensibility story. What's good for building my business on VS in the cloud?
Well, you know, we've worked closely with partners in development tools for pretty much as long as I can remember. I mean, the initial ones, for those of you who've been around long enough, were the old VB controls.
Back in the early
days of VB. I think we introduced that control architecture in VB3, if I recall correctly. that was many generations before .NET came into place. And of course, we took the learning and all the great work that our partners have done forward with .NET and with the earlier releases of Visual Studio, VisualStudio.net, and the releases we had the last few years. You know, what we've done now with Visual Studio is we've broadened the surface area within the development environment, within the IDE, for partners to add value to help the developer.
Sure.
So there's a broad set. I mean, I talked about 50 partners today that are announcing availability of their products for developers to use, to download, use, purchase. Many of them are available for free. They can utilize as a part of their development process. You know, when we talk about the cloud, the opportunities there for partners are almost limitless. One of the things that I find very exciting about the cloud environment is the ability for the developer and the entire ecosystem, in fact, to focus in on what they find the most productive. This is a pretty big deal. If you look historically, enterprises have had to live in a heterogeneous world.
Right.
They have always had many different systems. They have Unix, they have Linux, and you know, those things are not going away. There's a lot of mainframes that are still running core business applications. And when we talk to a lot of our partners, particularly ISVs, one of the challenges they always had about adopting the .NET platform and betting more on Microsoft was they would have feedback from their customers that their customers want the application available on Linux or on Unix. I mean,
sure.
Heck, I remember when they wanted it available on AS400 and VAX systems.
S390,
and I was there. And now that's a fairly different circumstance, because if you're providing a service, if you're a developer and you're a development company and an ISV, and you're building a service, people really don't, your customer doesn't care what platform you build it on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should build it on the one that provides the best environment for you, the most cost-effective, the best tools, the best development environment on the planet. You know, and my view is very simple. I mean, it's always been very simple. You know, if that's Linux and one of our hosting partners,
right.
If you think that's a better environment, you should use it. But my job, simply put, is to make sure that the Windows Azure environment, the SQL Azure environment, the Visual Studio tools, of course, building on Windows Server and SQL Server, are all the best possible environment for developers to productively get their jobs done and release the world's best applications into production, into service for their customers. And so, to me, that's when you asked me about the cloud and the opportunity.
Right.
Hey, it's real simple. It's a simple thing. The best platform will win, and it's our job to give you the best platform. That's that simple. It's all of our jobs.
You know, you mentioned Linux and some of the different opportunities. At PDC, if I remember correctly, we did a number of announcements on PHP.
Sure.
On Azure, which is interesting in the fact of if you need to scale out a PHP application,
right.
you can use our infrastructure for those sort of scale out, as well as database. Can you maybe talk about some of that and where you see the future?
It makes sense in so many ways. I mean, we've always focused on enabling a wide variety of languages to be supported. Obviously, Visual Studio and .NET support the broadest set of languages of any environment on the planet. And PHP is a different environment, but it runs very well. A lot of work that was done by Scott Guthrie's team, Bill Staples, a lot of folks, in the 2008 and 2008 R2 releases of Windows Server make PHP a first-class citizen
right.
in terms of running on Windows Server. And we've taken all of that and brought it into the Windows Azure environment. So that's a great environment. Java will work in the Windows Azure environment. And, of course, some of the benefits of the cloud in terms of the ease of provisioning and the hardware cost advantages, things like that, can come from utilizing Windows Azure. Now, there still is that little point of the application model and how the application model is changing in the cloud. And obviously, our predominant investment in implementing the cloud-based application model is in the .NET environment.
Sure,
but you know, we'll work with the community as PHP evolves, and some of those characteristics will come into the PHP environment, and we'll willingly and gladly embrace all of that and encompass it in what we're doing with Windows Azure.
Okay, excellent. And we do have some questions here. Just a reminder before I forget, at CH9 Live, send us your questions. We will get them answered all day. So first question here is Shayla Schnarr. Hope I got that name right. We are very excited with the Azure offering. Is there anything new being announced for Azure with this for the Visual Studio 2010 .NET 4 release?
The one thing that we just are announcing really in parallel with this is Azure availability in a broader set of geographies around the world.
Okay.
When we launched Azure, we launched it in about 20 geographies around the world. It's now available in over 40, I think 41 geographies. So we've expanded that. You know, the thing about Windows Azure is we don't have big launch events like this for Windows Azure because it's a service and we're continually delivering
sure.
new features and new capabilities. So watch, you know, stay tuned and watch, and you'll see over the coming months more and more new things coming with Azure. But one of the very specific things is a broader set of geographies. So
okay, great. I actually want to ask Al a question while we're on the topic of cloud. So Al3891, who's a classic niner, can you talk a little bit more about private Azure cloud? So if I want to run an Azure cloud
sure.
in my enterprise, say government, where they just had to ensure their data is safe and not available for all.
Yeah, you know, let me take a second to clarify terminology because I think it's pretty important. The word private cloud and public cloud are used a lot, and they're not as clear to people sometimes
yeah,
as they
absolutely.
Could be. So let me actually use some different words, and I think it'll provide a little more clarity. You know, I think there are two kinds of clouds, really. One is a dedicated cloud to a single customer,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the other is a shared cloud where multiple organizations are using the same, are working on the same set of hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's dedicated and shared. And conceptually, you can think of clouds running in a customer data center, okay? So one organization's data center. There are thousands of hosts around the world that will run clouds, and of course Microsoft is running clouds.
Right.
Now, I think that shared and dedicated actually makes sense across all three of those. You know, I know of a number of customers that, you know, large financial organizations as an example, that are interested in running their own shared cloud for their own customers. You can imagine car companies wanting to run their own cloud for their dealer network.
Sure,
so that's
sure.
an example of a dedicated shared cloud that someone might call private using that other terminology. And certainly hosters will want to run shared and dedicated clouds. And we're mostly running shared clouds with Windows Azure. That's what we've announced thus far. Although, as you mentioned, and that's some possibilities of government is an example of perhaps a dedicated cloud that we might run. And what we're doing is we're taking all the learning that we have in Windows Azure and we're bringing it back into our core products in Windows Server and SQL Server and System Center and are enabling people to build their own private cloud environment using this technology. You know, sometimes people have asked the question, why does Microsoft run the cloud themselves? Why are we running Windows Azure ourselves? Mm-hmm. Why don't we rely on, say, just our hosting partners to do that? Well, first of all, we very much are committed to enabling our hosting partners to do this and to give them the best technology. But one of the things we've learned is we've got to run it ourselves. We've just learned this again and again. Unless we do it ourselves, we get our hands dirty, we understand the issues, we're not going to build the best software.
Sure, sure.
So the fact that we're doing it at massive scale with Windows Azure will make our customer data center better and our hoster data center partners better. And you know what you'll see is that there's features today that exist only in Windows Azure, and there's features that exist only in Windows Server.
Sure.
And likewise, SQL Azure versus SQL Server. And what we're doing is very much cross-pollinating that and making it so there's consistency across all of that. And so an application written on Windows Server that takes advantage of and is thought of in the cloud environment should be able to run well in Windows Azure and vice versa.
Okay. So we have just a couple of minutes more, and we're going to take two more questions. Richard Hine asks, can you discuss connections between SharePoint and Azure?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, one of the things we've been doing is we have a new set of one of our key online services as we're going to market is something that we call today the Business Productivity Online Services. It's a classic Microsoft name. We may be working on that name. But the idea, BPOS, as it's affectionately known as. And what we're looking at, that runs Exchange and SharePoint and our unified communication set of products in a hosted way. And today, there is a fairly limited set of things developers can do in terms of building SharePoint applications. Now, with SharePoint 2010, we will open up a lot of those capabilities for apps to be built in the shared environment. And what we're doing is bringing over a period of time the SharePoint and the Azure environments together to think about SharePoint as an incremental set of services that are available in the Azure platform. Now, that's not where we are yet, but
it's
that's clearly where we're going. That's clearly where we're going.
Sure. And our last question here, S. Sarangi asked, what are the significant changes for people developing on C++ platforms for Visual C++ 2010?
Sure. Well, we've improved and modernized the language. Let's sort of start with that. We brought the wizards back to help simplify the process of building C++ applications. We've enabled people to take advantage of new features in Windows 7, things like the ribbon and touch support.
Sure, sure.
So a whole set of things around MFC to simplify the process of building applications and to be able to take your existing code forward. We know there's a lot of code that's been written in C++, and we want to help developers to modernize that and bring it forward.
Okay, so I think we are officially out of time. So, Bob, thank you very much for your time.
This
has been a lot of fun, and welcome back. We'll have another session in just maybe 2 minutes. Our next session will be Native Code with Charles Torrey and Kate Gregory.
So you'll hear more about C++.
Exactly.
That's right.
So it should be great. Thanks very much.
Great.